It's time for Spotlight on KRWC. It is our first Wednesday of the month of February. We always reserve the first Wednesday for Emily Hansen, University of Minnesota Extension Horticulture, and always some good guests. See if I got the first names right. I'm going to see if I got the last names right. Julie Pink and Jane Fitzer also with us today. How about that? And they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. What do you know? Well, we're going to talk some horticulture topics. We're going to let Emily lead off here, and we were just having a lively conversation about what everybody, I'm sure, is talking about on the bizarre winter that we're having or not having, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been very warm. I haven't gotten a lot of calls, but last week we had an emerald ash borer workshop, and the big topic there was, what does this warm weather mean for emerald ash borer larvae that are in the bark of the tree? And it's not very good. So usually when the temperatures get below negative 30, so negative 30 and below, the emerald ash borer larvae in the ash trees can freeze and die. So we have a higher mortality rate. But because we have such warm weather this year, unusual winter, those emerald ash borer larvae will end up having a second generation, which could cause the mortality of ash trees to be higher. So it's not a good sign for ash trees in Minnesota, but emerald ash borer has been in Wright County for a decent amount of time, so we've been dealing with this for a little bit. And if you have any questions about treating your ash tree, the extension office is always open to answer those questions. The best time to treat is in the spring with a trunk injection. And if you get a certified professional, that's a good way to do it, but you can also do it yourself. So the warm weather, not good for ash trees.
And maybe trees in general.
Yep, trees in general, too. We are talking at the Emerald Ash Borer Workshop, too, that it's really confusing for the trees to be this way and be in this warm weather, so they could put out some buds. And if we get, you know, those cold temperatures like it's predicted next week, not sure if it's actually going to happen, it'll have damaging effects, so it'll have branch dieback. It'll kill those buds, and there's really nothing that we can do about it, unfortunately, so it's kind of just a waiting game at this point.
You know, it's probably nothing that's never, ever, ever happened before. We've got records in Minnesota, and Minnesota has some of the most extensive records going back farther than a lot of states, but it is very unusual and just doesn't, at least for this length of time. You know, it's not uncommon in the winter to get a little quick warm up and you have a couple days of it, but you know, to have an overnight low of 41 on the 7th of February, that's nuts.
Yeah, and January felt like April, and February feels like May, so we're all mixed up here. And, you know, March is going to feel like January, maybe, and April's going to feel like February, so we'll see what happens coming up. But we've also gotten some calls about the sap that's running out of trees, and especially with the maple trees, and if people should tap their trees right now or what they should do. And even though the sap is flowing, commercial syrupers aren't necessarily taking big action with this weather that we're having right now and the sap flowing, because this can be a very short-lived period. I just mentioned that you said it was only 41 was the low last night, and we need those freezing temperatures at night and above freezing during the day to have consistent sap flow. If you're a backyard hobbyist, you could tap a tree, but you may not get a lot of sap to syrup ratio, if you will. But usually the commercial people are waiting for that March to April range, because it's been consistent in Minnesota that March to April is the time for sap flow. And when tapping trees, it's only recommended to do one tap per tree. So if you're a backyard hobbyist and you have 20 trees, you know, maybe you could try it out right now and test to see if 10 of them produce some sap to make into syrup. And then during the March to April range, you could tap your other 10 trees too, as recommended.
Would be a more normal time.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
We're going to get to some other topics here in a minute. I want to ask Emily about another topic for, well, I guess trees, but other plantings and, you know, anything, and that is moisture. Now, we had a pretty good stretch there in December where we had, you know, several inches of rain there, if we remember back. Mm-hmm. But since that time, not a whole lot. And, of course, a lot of evaporation. We saw many, many foggy days, which means, mm-hmm. you know, what moisture there is going out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was just at a conference yesterday talking about managing woodlands, and the University of Minnesota is doing a lot of climate research. And we're experiencing wetter springs and falls and drier summers. And during those wet periods, it's just all at once, right? It's not a slow rain. It's a big gush of rain. And when we have those big events like that, the water doesn't necessarily soak in all the way. We don't get all that within the trees. So we're experiencing drought. So they're stressed in the summer, and then they're not getting enough water during those rain events. So trees can be super stressed right now, and we don't have the snow cover either for them. So I'd be very cautious and careful about treating your tree this year, making sure it's watered, pruning it. This is a great time to prune trees. February during the cold period is best, you know, fruit trees, oak trees, when we don't have those insects. So now is the time to prune trees too.
All right. And I don't know about frost coming out of the ground. A lot of indicators are that whatever frost that we had has been coming out. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if that's a benefit for trees or not. If we do get some rain now, at least will it get in?
Is that the hope? If we get a slow rain, yeah, that would be nice. But if we just get dumped on, it may not soak all the way in. But that's a good point that you bring up, too, is like the ground isn't really frozen, right? So you could essentially, if you're thinking about planting your garden right now, you could take a soil test and get in before the rush of the spring starts. I'm actually going to go take a soil test in a couple weeks here for our community garden in Meeker County. So that's kind of unheard of, is to take a soil test in February, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're the person that just wants to be the early bird, might as well do it. The ground isn't super frozen right now.
Last year we had about 3 feet of snow you'd had to dig through before you got to the ground.
Yeah, exactly. We had a soil research study last year, and you know, we had that April 1 massive snowstorm, and we were supposed to be out soil testing, and the ground's still frozen, and there's, you know, 4 feet of snow on the ground. So it's definitely a new year for that.
Well, all we got to do is wait and see what happens here. Emily Hansen with us, U of M Extension Horticulture with the University of Minnesota. We've got some master gardeners with us too. Julie Pink is back with us this month, and Julie's got some ideas about, and this is a topic that almost needs an asterisk, because things you can or should and shouldn't do this time of year may be out the window when it's like, yeah, this.
It's a strange phenomenon. It's a strange year. Besides, Emily talked about trimming trees. You can also be trimming things like plants like dogwood, shrubs, many hydrangeas, those kinds of things. But do not trim spring bloomers, like anything that's supposed to bloom in May, April, May. An example would be lilac bushes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and as far as the dogwoods, you can trim those all the way down, those to the ground, or you can just trim out the gray, the old branches. Or you can do what's called a renovation type pruning and do a third every year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something you can get out there and do, because we don't have the snow yet.
Yeah. And it's warm, mild to do it normally.
Right, right. It's a good time, too, to be on the alert for pests. I always like to walk around my yard and look for deer damage, rabbit damage. One year I caught a tree that was being chewed before it was girded, which means that they chew all the way around and kill the tree. And if you see signs of that and you haven't already, you should definitely put up some protection. wrap the tree if it's moles or you know, a small insect or rabbits. You should put the wire fencing down 3 inches at least, and up 2 feet at least. 1 year, they, because of the snow, they went up a lot higher.
Yeah.
But something to watch for before it gets bad. You can be checking your indoor plants too at this time of year. Emily talked last month about fungus gnats and other creepy crawlies we don't like. also, deer and rabbits can do a lot of damage. You want to, again, if you see, you want to prevent damage because they establish patterns. Once they find a special, rabbits especially, if they find a lot of shrubs to live under, you know, they'll propagate. They'll get lots of bunnies. So you want to be on the lookout for that. Fencing is the number one technique, you know, sure way to do it. Though there are other chemicals and things you can spray. There's we're not supposed to recommend any special brands, but you can go to your garden store in the spring and hopefully get a start on it before they start in a pattern. They like those spring bloomers. There's chemicals, there's sprays, there's granular, and they all work. There's also, for heavy deer damage, you might want to set up a, when it warms up, you might want to look into a water motion detector. I have a cousin who, that was the only way that she could save her lilies. So the water sprayed the deer they came in the area. A technique that I've tried, I had planted some new shrubs, and even though they are deer resistant, nothing is foolproof. Mm-hmm. And this is up north where they're plentiful. You set up poles and string fishing wire around at like 2.5 feet and 3.5 feet, and the deer run into it and back off. Unfortunately, if you have dogs, they run through it. That was the only problem we had. We had to rewire once because of my brother's dog, but it did work. So
yeah, because pretty much invisible, you know, particularly at night, if that's when they're kind of browsing around.
Yeah, and they don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So we've been successful with that. I do put a few little flags on it to help the adults stay away from there in the night, but it works. The other thing you might want to be doing at this time of year is looking for plants. There's a list of plants, too numerous for me to get, plants and trees that are resistant. Nothing's guaranteed, but there are many plants that they don't like. So that'd be something to consider, too.
Yeah, and deer, particularly if there's a large population or a large herd of them around, they can do some damage in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun in the winter to follow their paths, and you can, my grandkids like to do that with me, and see where they've been. It's a little bit harder, though I can see some spots they've been. It's also a good time to start seeds. You can do geraniums and pansies and wax begonias, leeks, onions this time of year. Some people have tried other things, but those are some that have been recommended. Begonia tubers in peat moss, you can start that. And you can work on your equipment, get your tools cleaned up. Clean off the soil, wipe the blades, use alcohol, isopropyl, alcohol works. Your equipment won't rust, but it is highly flammable, so be careful. The last thing is get to your floral store and buy some flowers for somebody or plants.
Good idea anytime. Jane Fitzer, also here. We talked seeds last month, if I remember correctly, or a couple, it'll lean right in on the mic so we can hear you there.
Sure.
And so what's that leading to now? You've got some started already?
Yes, True Confessions. Was working in the greenhouse over the weekend, and I did put a few seeds in, and the greenhouse heat is not on right now. So I think every gardener, at least in Minnesota, probably Wisconsin too, however many people are experiencing this weird, weird warm weather, we're all itching to start putting seeds in. And people are coming on the garden pages on social media and saying, hey, when can I plant seeds? For some things, it's really early. For other things, it's not. So one of the things I wanted to talk a little bit about today, which is actually happening naturally, but in a normal winter, is just extending our growing season and the different ways that we can do that as gardeners. And so I personally have a greenhouse, which I love, but a greenhouse maybe isn't in reach for everyone. It isn't a huge investment. But there's some other things we can do that, if we're anxious and we want to start seeds, and I kind of listed them in order of least expensive to most expensive, and least expensive would probably be winter sowing. One of our master gardeners, Patricia Aceves, is doing a series of library talks on winter sowing, and I actually attended that because it's a little bit of a new concept to me. And basically, you need an old plastic jug and some dirt and some seeds. And winter sowers can start as early as November, December, put the dirt, put the seeds in. It's a little more complicated than that, and we can go into it if we want. And you just leave them out. And what happens is you put them out in a sunny part of your yard, and nature kind of, the seeds decide when they're going to sprout. The problem with winter sowing this winter is I'm thinking some of those seeds may have sprouted if they've been sitting there since November just because of our warm temperatures. But in a normal winter, they will be super hardy seedlings because they come up when nature deems that they do that. So winter sowing is one thing. Cold frames is another thing. I think the next least expensive, which is basically a box, which can be glass or wood with a glass lid that sits on the south side of your buildings. And that, again, you fill that with soil and seeds, and that helps us to sprout seeds before they normally would, because you get that warmth during the day and it retains some heat at night. Indoor seeding is a thing a lot of people do, and that requires, again, a little bit more equipment. A lot of people have a shelf, lights, heat mats, and so on. You can definitely start seeds indoors and get them ready. And especially if you don't want to buy your tomato and your pepper and some of those plants we tend to buy as plants later in the year, you can start those inside. The question is, when do you start them? I mean, peppers take a little long to germinate. Maybe now might be okay in the next couple weeks. Tomatoes, if you put them in too early, we know they get really leggy. They get really skinny and weak, and it's not a good solid plant to put in. Next is a hoop house, or what's called a high tunnel. And this is something a little more extensive. It sits on the ground. It's made out of plastic. It is an investment, not as much as a greenhouse. It's not heated in general. But that also will give you, I believe, 6 to 8 degrees of warmth over and above just planting outside. But also it will protect from things like hail, extreme weather, and you know, things that can damage plants that are just sitting out in the open. Next would be your greenhouse, which if you can afford one, it's wonderful to be able to get out there this time of year and start planting. There is an investment required. You've got to put down a slab and then, you know, build it from a kit. I've seen people build them from stuff in their yards, and they're amazing. I have one that's propane heated, so that does extend the growing season. But the question is, how much, with the cost of propane, when is that cost effective? And so if I was to grow crops in a normal winter, it would probably cost me $200 to $300 or more a month to run propane into the greenhouse at night. Ouch. So how much is your lettuce worth? This is a question.
Yeah. Don't measure it by the pound. Or
don't. I mean, that's a passion. The other thing that I wish I had done, and I'm learning about these now, is deep winter greenhouses, which run on solar energy. They're wonderful, and they do have a backup heat source. Mm-hmm. But if you play your cards right and you think about it, when you're actually putting, and I can see what I should have done rather than get a greenhouse, I could have run the heated slab out from my garage and put one there, and then just utilize the geothermal heat. And the sunlight to do that. And I would have a much cheaper way to grow things through the winter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're amazing. And actually, there are grants available mm-hmm. for deep winter greenhouses and high tunnels. Mm-hmm. The deep winter greenhouse, I believe it's being offered through the U of M. Mm-hmm. However, unfortunately, I believe there's 11 counties outside Hennepin, including Wright, that they are not at the moment offering that grant to.
Mm-hmm.
And also for high tunnels, there is a... the USDA has an incentive for people who want to put in high tunnels on their property. Mm-hmm. So look into that. It's called the High Tunnel Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, it gets us itching to grow then, for sure.
We are itching.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're kind of running out of time here. Emily, you got a few dates to tell us about?
Yeah, lots of dates. February is busy for me, for the Master Gardeners, too. They have some upcoming events. And the event that Jane was talking about with winter sowing, the Master Gardeners are holding an educational series on February 17th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at all of the following locations. So the Buffalo Library is where the winter sowing class will be. The Monticello Library will be about a turf talk and solutions for lawn care. And the St. Michael Library will be on foodscaping and how to create an edible landscape. Again, on February 17th. We also have a cut flower farming webinar series on Valentine's Day from 1 to 2 p.m. Gardening from the ground up webinar series February 19th through 23rd from 1 to 2:30 p.m. A dormant grapevine pruning workshop from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on February 24th at Milner Heritage Winery. And then upcoming Master Gardener Educational Days. March 21st is the Meeker County Garden Gala, and March 23rd is the Wright County Spring Days event in Maple Lake. And if you're interested in learning more about these events or signing up, or you have any other questions about topics that was discussed today, you can call me, Emily Hansen, at 612-394-6302.
I was just imagining the Spring Days event and how everybody will be buzzing about on that one, reviewing the winter that was. What would be, as if this continued, what is best case, worst case scenario? I mean, do we, as far as a plants and growing things standpoint, do we want some kind of semblance of normal before we get into actual spring?
Yeah, great question. So, like I said before, I went to a conference yesterday and they were talking about the trees and stuff and climate models. And even the experts at the university are like, we just don't know what's going to happen or what to really do right now. This is kind of unheard of. So we're not really sure. But I would say make sure that you're following the growing degree days. If you're planning to plant anything early, those climate and temperature models are very accurate. I wouldn't go off the weather report, plant something in the ground right now. But if you're looking to plant something, go off those growing degree dates, and you can always call me and I can get those degree dates for you too.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Mm-hmm. And next month at this time, we'll either be continuing to be confused or we'll be saying, boy, that was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, we'll learn a lot from this year, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, we appreciate the time. Emily Hansen with U of M Extension, Jane Fitzer and Julie Pink with us too from the Master Gardeners. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll talk again next month. There's today's Spotlight on KRWC.